All right, this is it. You know what day it is. It's Sunday. I want to start out by just giving thanks to all the mothers out there. Oh, my goodness. I hope you receive the love. I know you get it 24/7. I know that. But it's so nice to have a day. I loved my mother. I know you all love your mother. It's sane to love your mother. That's the basis of my whole philosophy. It's sane to love your mother. Love Mother Earth. Love your mother. Love from the womb to the tomb, the cradle to the grave. Love, love, love. Yes, you're listening to Mission Possible on BBSRadio.com, and I am the boss. Yes, RJ, also known as Reverend Roxy. But that's another day and another time. You know, I was thinking today, oh, my goodness, it's Mother's Day. What kind of message could I start off with? I recognize and I listened back to the show last week, and other people listen, they realize, oh, my goodness, the truth can be a bit disheartening. I said, only if you are not within the flow of the plan of the man. Oh, yeah. And I realized that when I listened back, I was like, oh, well, maybe we need to put a little more spirit into the message. It's enough for me to wait a few minutes before I get into the show and give you my slant on how I see this race, the political race, because we are watching it. Politics is the science of citizenship, and although I am giving it all up to the Creator, I can't help but look at the race. And in looking at the race, I can take the temperature, I can take the measurements, I can see for myself what people are willing to say in order to win the office, and who is saying it for them, and what strategies they're using to gather our vote to show that they are different from the other candidate, that it's clear that I have it over him or he has it over me, and I will, oh, but I don't want to get into that. What I wanted to do was I really wanted to take this opportunity to point out something that I've known for a long time. Dr. Len, when he was doing his research on Love the Real Da Vinci Code, you know, we had to stare at a lot of the Da Vinci drawings, and one of the drawings that we stared at for a long time was that one, The Last Supper. And in doing so, you had to then go to the book, and you had to read for yourself what history he was putting into that picture and how he grabbed that moment right then when Christ had just announced that somebody in the room was getting ready to betray him, and everybody was looking each other up and down in bewilderment. He captured this very, oh, just brilliantly. And as you begin to look at that picture of the Last Supper, you begin to see things, and as you begin to read that paragraph, you know that Peter is sitting next to John, and John is sitting next to Christ, and Christ has just delivered this message, and Peter is leaning into John, and in the text it says that he wants to know, and so then John looks up at Christ and says, who is it? And Christ says, so if one I'm getting ready to dip in the bowl, in the wine, and give him a morsel. And he did. And Peter was listening, too. Now, what you have to do is then do your homework and see what manner of character Peter was and the kind of work that Christ had set out for himself as he admits to the fact that he handpicked these people. So you have to constantly ask yourself, we all know in history that Peter was the hothead. He was always one, but he was the one who said, I'm with you, Christ. I'm with you all the way until the wheels fall off. That was before the days of the Chevrolet. He said, I'm with you. And Christ looked at him and said, you know, that's really interesting because I think before this is all over, you're going to deny me three times, and then the cock going to crow twice, and you're going to deny me thrice. And, oh, my goodness. Peter looks at him like, you're crazy. I'll never do such a thing. And we know if you do your homework that, of course, he did, and he wept so bitterly that it created permanent crevices in his face. Never again. And again, do your homework, and you'll see. So this is the man that is the founding father of the chair of Peter. This is my point as we begin to look at the religious destinies of the world. This is the chair of Peter, and I only talk about these things because discursively it's going to give you an idea of this ecumenical kind of political race that we get ready to run. And if you listen back to the shows, you can see all the way back in I say, when you look back and you really look at it, you say to yourself, I know they was all in the race and they all started out in church and then they all went and ran their primaries. And now I don't hear too many people talking about anything other than what they're going to do and what they're going to reveal today. So before we do that, I said to myself, well, you know, that Last Supper has so much going on for itself. Within the picture itself, you know, you look at Peter, he got a knife in his hand. Who is he getting ready to go throw? He trying to cut? You know, but he was a hothead. He was just saying, I got the, you know, what? I got the, I'm just a hothead. This is how, when you look at the story, you can see all these characters, like, in the play. There's all these characters. Who's the hothead? Who's the beloved one? Who's going to be the one to portray the Christ. We know that it was promised that another helper was coming, a great comforter. We know that the man who exhibited by example, not by commandment or by lip service, but through example, his ability to predict human nature, so that it looked like he was predicting the future. If we all begin to pay attention to that which we are putting out, then we will understand what it is that we are surrounding ourselves with and how and where it's all coming from. Nothing is a mystery. If I was to say this was my last show, or if I was to say this is the last day on earth, what is it that I, as a person who is politically motivated to speak from my own experiences of living in America and also accepting my ordination in terms of my Christ consciousness that will lead me to my rightful place so I can see God's face and God will embrace me in the everlasting light forever holding me close. So I never have to experience again the pain of being human and watching that which has been left here to prosper or to just go poop, you know, just go pop or bang. If I had an opportunity to share with you my favorite passage within the Testament, it would come in St. John. And it would come at a time right after supper when after having taught, and you could do your own homework and read it. It's not too hard. But when you get to chapter 17, by then, Christ is now knowing, I better pray. And I think that when you think about that, and you think about the fact that this man knew that he was going to be facing his example and how we accept the chalice, how we accept the cup, the fate, whatever you want to call it, to demonstrate our love for our own. After he had told everybody, I give you one commandment, it's to love each other. You know, the love thing that fits within the Da Vinci Code. Love the real Da Vinci Code. You all can go there, do your homework like I did. Dr. Len does it brilliantly in terms of getting you to understand what we're talking about when we talk about frequencies, when we talk about how it is that we can move through, slice through, just like a laser, just go right straight through it, you see what I'm saying, and organize those molecules so that they are within the plan of the Most High. No man can plan us out of this. There's no man alive that can come up with a plan to pull our fannies out of the economic fires. I don't care what they say. I know what has happened, and we all will pay. So I said to myself, well, after having rejected, and here I live in the world in the latter day of the law, there's a lot of days of the law of love, obviously, and there are those of us who want to resurrect and get back to the love, you know, and there are others who are out there working hard for those who never discover the love, stay dissociated, just stay distanced from love, and embrace evil, stupid as I like to call evil. And it is our duty, and that is the duty, and it is what Christ was trying to tell everybody. Oh, love, do not pass go, don't go to jail, don't try to pick up any land, just stay with each other, love each other, respect each other, love. This was the commandment. Very simple. Everything else springs from it. Everything else reasons from it. And like I said, it's only been 3-4 minutes since I said it, and I get back to it so that you know I'm not just wandering. It's just that if this was the last day on earth, and I had to share with you the passage, it would be not the Lord's prayer, but Christ's prayer for his disciples, you see. This is the most important thing. And I thought, well, I got an hour show. I got a few minutes to turn to a page and read it for you. So we done got past the supper, and now he done gave out the lessons of the vine, the lessons of the sorrows of the heart, the rejoicing in the finding and in the giving and in the labor and the da-da-da and the hoo-da-hoo and the ha, all of it, speaking plainly in Proverbs and in parables. He just gave them an earful, and they listened. And then he said these things. He spoke, and lifting his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now glorify thou me, O Father, with thyself, with the glory which I had before the world was with thee. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and to me thou gavest them, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things which thou hast given me are from thee. Because the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and have known in very deed that I came out from thee, and they have believed, and thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, because they are thine. And all my things are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am not in the world, and these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we also are. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, the scripture may be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy filled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, as I also am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, as I am, I also am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for them do I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. And not for them only do I pray, but for them also who through their word shall believe in me. Oh, yeah. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we also are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast also loved me. Father, I will that where I am, they also whom thou hast given me may be with me, that they may see my glory which thou hast given me, because thou hast loved me before the creation of the world. Just, Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have made known thy name to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's that. That's a prayer. Yes, and when he was finished, he got up and took a walk in a garden where he then met his faith. But it started with the commandment of love, and it ends with remembrance of love. And this is what this day is about, as we remember the love. The strongest love, we may argue about who Jesus' father was, but we know who his mother was, and his mother was Mary. And she took a lot of abuse in the beginning, but she too came through it. She too exhibited the kind of courage and knowledge it happens when you have a special child. Isn't that the truth? So that was my little something. This is more important for all Christians to study what it is that Christ prayed for in his disciples. And as you begin to thump on your Bible, start to paying attention to the specific orders and suggestions and examples that are given for us to somehow or another maybe model, for lack of a better word, to do. So on Mother's Day 2008, I hope that wasn't too painful for anybody that was listening. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gospel, St. John. And to read it in his poetic. I mean, Mark does a good job of it, but he's more clinical about it and more detailed, but John is more poetic about it. And it's just his take on it is, you know, he was sitting right next to the man, so he would he would have known what he said. Anyhow, this is Mission Possible Radio Hour. I'm Boss RJ, and this is bbsradio.com. And I can now having done that, I can get to what I've been wanting to get to. It's just discussing this upcoming race. It seems to be coming very clear that people are, the super delegates are starting to line up. Line up and make their choices, and they seem to be leaning towards this man, Obama. Now, it's a race, you know, and everybody has a handicap in the race, and I have glimpsed the handicaps, and I can see what's coming. I find it interesting that it is going to be kind of interesting. He has mentioned the Keating Five. I find that interesting. I hope that Obama will mention not only that, but begin to address all the scandals in Washington. He has a lot of vision for America, I am aware of. I'm looking at some of his quotes right now. Looking at the Hawaiian Tribune Herald, so we have to, you know, over here they're all gaga go-go for Obama, because he's born in Hawaii, supposedly, but we may find out different when Don Nikoloff does his whole thing. He has a different slant on who all these people are and where they come from, and we're all waiting with bated breath to we've all been teased. Now we have to be put out of our conspiracy-filled theory heads. We'll have to be, you know, satiated, satisfied now that we've been teased, and hopefully he will do that. And hopefully it'll be one of the more well-sold Idaho observers ever. I hope that anybody that's listening to this will. And I think it's coming up in May, the mid-May. It should be out. And if not, you know, it might take a little time. It's not like truth was all taken away in a day, although it may be true about our economic situation could be taken away in a nanosecond. These are the, these are the realities of life as we live in a time of $126 and climbing barrel of oil. And as I look carefully at the monitor, I am seeing $885 gold. One has to ask themselves, okay, so what does the worst case scenario look like? What does the best case scenario look like? And what scenario do any of these candidates believe they're going to be presiding over? Obama says that it's not going to be about his race. It's not going to be about patriotism. It's going to be about trying to come up with a concrete plan that will allow people to, quote, he says, I think this is going to be a very concrete contest around very specific plans for how we improve the lives of Americans and our vision for the future. Obama said he realizes he must continue introducing himself to millions of Americans who do not know him well and acknowledge that some question his patriotism because he doesn't wear a flag pin. He says that the test of patriotism is whether we are true to the ideals and values upon which this country was founded, and willing to fight for them even when it is politically inconvenient. Now, I probably could do 6-7 shows in a row on just that last little part there, and I'm trying to, in some way, say to anybody, aside from those who are experts at semantics and public speaking, is what exactly he was saying. The reality of it is that I'm not quite sure how he's going to make the patient comfortable. I'm not sure whether it's important for anybody to wear anything on their lapels anymore. it don't matter. You see, as we begin to argue about the little things, the big things are going to come and hit us. And those big things, and why I think it's dangerous, is that we have people out here that are playing with a situation that is 95% in cyberspace. And what I mean by that is that when we look at the dollar, which is really nothing, they kind of pull it out of the air. As everybody knows this by now that's listening to BBSRadio.com. You've all had your, education in voodoo economics. You see, that word was used by George Bush, and voodoo economics is exactly what it is. It's all from that area down there in the Caribbean. Yeah, voodoo, offshore banking, Panama, voodoo, canal zone, free banking zones, if you really look at it, you know, it's 95% of the dollars that everybody is looking at is in cyberspace. It's in computers, in banks. And if somehow or another, inside our shadow government, which is the one who finances all of the false flag operations and gets, you know, other terrorist organizations to do their bidding round end. It's so clever. If they can destroy or corrupt the computer systems, they can take down the world's monetary systems and cripple us. It is a reality that is the next big that they're going to put on us, which is going to then have us have to change the way we, and they'll be right there to do that. They'll be there to do that, you see. This is how they work. They come up with the scenarios that will send us running. And that one would definitely... they're counting on, because they don't deal with the truth and the mainstream media doesn't deal with the truth, they're dealing with our skepticism, you see. They think that they don't believe, we don't believe what they're doing, you see. And that gives them time to do what they're doing. Now, I know that may sound kind of hard to believe, but that's exactly how I'm saying it. They're counting on the fact that we believe that what they do is unthinkable. So how could they even think about it? Because it's unthinkable. How can anybody do that? But they do. And then they have to cover it up. And it's not like it's a big conspiracy where it is like everybody knows. It's not that everybody knows. It's just that when it happens, then everybody just knows that they have to cover up what happened. And so everybody just goes into the mode and follows right along. This is what they call the mind control, the usurpation of the United States government. You know, the Congress, all these agencies and the way in which our government has been organized, it's all so inaccessible and the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. All of that was done and engineered for a reason, because when you're at the top and you're really just trying to bring it all down, you don't want anybody to get worried down there. You just keep throwing them little morsels and keep them busy on little low-level things while you're up there getting ready to pull the plug. And I can see them pulling that plug. And I can see them pulling that plug after this election. Oh, boy. Because there's no solution to deficit spending other than pay your bills, you see. You know, I look at what Obama's talking about, and he has a plan to help us with affordable colleges. I don't think so. And I think he says he has a plan for our health care, and I say, I don't think so. And the reason I say I don't think so is because I know there's no more money. At a time where you have overspent into the next 22nd, maybe 23rd century, if all of us just decided that we was all just going to give every penny we had to pay for all this that we have done and all the borrowing that our government has done in our name, remember that, in our name, in the people's name, but without the people, there'd be none of this, you see. Doesn't matter how we all think or what we think about it. The fact is that it's gotten out of hand. And while we're all sitting here cheering on the sideline for this one or that one, you really look at it. Just take a sobering look at it. I mean, I've seen some statistics. If you read the Idaho Observer, but it's not just for me to do that. For a long time, I've been telling people, every time something would come to my box, I would say to myself, now, why would they want to give me money? You see what I'm saying? Well, why would you want to give me this money? You tell me I don't have to pay it back for X amount of time, and then when I do, it'll only be this for this amount of time, and you start getting all into the little fine print, and you get it all lost. And I said, I don't deserve this credit. I say, no, thank you. You see, the temptation is there to say yes. But you have to say no. That's why I don't have nothing. But I do have this radio show, and I do have sponsor believes in me. And as long as I am channeling, and as long as my sponsor is happy, I will be on the air. As soon as my sponsor doesn't like my format, whoop, off the air. So for those of you who don't like the format, well, my apologies for that, but I gotta, you know, stay on the air. So if I only have to please my sponsor, then that's what I have to do. You see, even when you're on, you know, alternative radio stations, you still have to obey the rules. One of them is no dead air. The other one of them is make your sponsor happy. So I'm being happy. I'm speaking to you about the things that my sponsor likes to talk about, which is if you're going to plan a future, don't you think you want to look at your present really up close and personal and not lie to yourself? And if we was to look at that, we would have to say we've fallen on some hard times. And that's an indication because a lot more people out there are starting to have to make all kinds of decisions on how they're going to be able to put another tank full of gas. And they're accepting credit cards to try and keep going because they got the promise of a job, but they're competing with maybe 300 other people, but the hopes of a job is better than no job at all. And they're raising, hey, people are getting any kind of raises, but what we're finding out is that more people are working less, while people who are working more for less. Now, I know I said that right. When I play it back, it's going to make sense. And if it doesn't, I'll come back next week and we'll edit it. All right, but I think I did say that. You know, and a lot of people are starting to sell the things that they once bought on credit, and they're trying to get the money so that they can just pay it off a little bit. So they'll be paying on things that they didn't have. This is the key. This is how they're going to bring us down, you know. You're all broke, you know. And a lot of people who listen to BBS radio are on their way to becoming broke, you know. And soon they might not even be able to listen to it. But we'll get you. We'll get you. You know, you have to huddle around the one laptop in the future. It looked like Brazil or something, you know. You ever see that movie, Brazil? Everybody going to be huddling around the one laptop because they were smart enough, you know, and they was able to keep ahead. And they was friendly, you know. That's what's most important is people that survive with something are going to be friendly this time and share. But the reality of it is all you broke people out there, you need to repent, you know, because you have to ask yourself how you got broke. And I mean, you really got to. And for a lot of you, you know, you say, well, you know, don't be too hard on me. I got cancer. And I say, yeah. I say, yeah, you got cancer. And yeah, and now you broke. And now we got a president to say he's going to help you. We got a president to be to say he's going to help you. I'm waiting to see how he's going to help you, what kind of health care program he's going to come up with. I mean, we got these HMOs. Yeah, I don't even understand how he's going to do it. But he's a lawyer. He can say it. I guess, you know, lawyers, they learn to suppositionally think. And I'm telling you, what he be thinking about and what I know America is dealing with is definitely some serious, serious suppositional thinking. And I hope that everybody isn't too asleep and too romantically all gaga go-go for the idea that this man could lead us anywhere. Because I'll tell you, not only are the people broke, but they's hurt. And, you know, and they're trying to raise the money to pay their bills. And still, this is it. You do the math. You have a slow economy. You have rising gas prices, rising food prices, rising everything. Uh-huh. So here it is, folks. You know? And, you know, I don't want you to feel bad. I just want you to know that these are the tests. This is where it gets good. You know, this is where you can begin to prove the word. This is where you have to just turn it over. You can't get, like I sing in my songs, don't get caught up, it could be a downfall. Uh-huh. It could be. And I don't want that to happen to you, because we can come through this. And like I say in another song, you got to look beyond the horror. And this is a horror that's going to not trickle down, it's going to cascade down. This is going to be an economic watershed. And I'm sorry I have to keep repeating it, but that's why the mission is possible. For as many people as I can wake up, more people you'll see will be able to be saved. I don't think Noah or Lot or any of these other people that ran away from the pending doom felt bad for any of the people that got left behind, because they know they deserved it. And that God took care of them. And if God wanted them to survive, God would have plucked them at the last minute, at the last moment. Everybody gets a chance. But when the big boom comes, you're really going to want to know, where are you in the world? And what are you thinking at that last moment? Well, when you have mighty faith, then you are thinking about one thing and one thing only. Being with the Most High after it's all over. That's right. You have that kind of faith, you can take your last breath and know it's not. Uh-huh. Because you're just serene. You go in peace. And isn't that what they're asking us to do? Dismiss. Go in peace. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way it's gonna be. And that's why y'all gonna wake up. Y'all gonna start listening to the Inside Hour and to all the other shows. And you're gonna start listening. And even if you don't, you know, you're gonna hear about it. Because there's a mighty force that's getting ready to happen. And it don't matter who the President of the United States is, it's gonna be good. Because people gonna stop relying on the government, they're going to start dealing with each other, and they'll say, let's not get fooled. Let's do what Christ said do. Let us honor each other. Let us wash each other's feet. Let us pray together. Let us know that some of us out here is going to betray us. Let us close ranks. Let us not deny each other. Let us stand up, let us witness to the truth. And the truth is that America, if Obama is going to stand up for the ideals that brought forth America, then he better do his history homework. Because at that very same moment, those men that were signing that Constitution were also reading Adam Smith. And I know that the two go together. And then a lot of those people had Machiavellian thoughts. And although they had a whole lot and knew they wanted to be free, they had thoughts different about other people. My fear as an intellectual as to whether McCain or Obama or Clinton or any other person steps up is that that person's going to ask us to do what Nixon did a long time ago, say, could you just lower your voices a little bit? This is a new beginning, and you got to give us a moment, and you can't be so angry, and you got to, and I'm like, all right, I'll lower my voice, but I'm not going to shut up. And what I'm going to say is that there's a lot of people out here that want answers about a lot of things that have happened that have to do with their money, have to do with their morals, have to do with their families, have to do with the way everybody's not doing what they're supposed to do. It's being made up as they go along. And there's this creature like the SS Gestapo, this thing called Homeland Security, that's doing just like it did back in Germany. And people are starting to tell on each other and turn each other in. And all kinds of manners of skullduggery are going on. This is not how it's supposed to be. And if this is supposed to be a Christian nation, then I'm going to ask everybody to open up St. John and read it one more time. That's chapter 17. And read the Lord's Prayer there that he had for us, Christ's prayer that he had, that he prayed to his Father for us. Okay? Because when we begin to start fulfilling that, then we can move and groove in this uncertain 21st century of change. Certainly, no one has to ask for change. It's going to come of its own accord. Oh, yeah, this is good. You know, we got new presidents coming in. Oh, this is good. And you got the old farts in the back trying to cover up the tracks. Oh, this is good. We got a Justice Department that is designed exactly to do nothing unless it gets the go-ahead from whoever, and everybody's just moving around, and all kinds of attorneys are dying and coming up missing. We know there's a story behind it, but it is for me to say that, yes, we know, and it is not that important to know the details. What's important is to know that when you see evil, when you see stupid, this is yourself. It's too late to try to change anybody. You've got to distance yourself. And don't participate. That's how. That's why, you know, I'm on the air. Because I'm going to try and help you over these next couple of years. Now, that's forward visionary thinking, isn't it? That I should be on the air for the next couple of years. Well, with the attitude I have, I should be, you see. Because it's not commensurate on how much I sell. It's not commensurate on how many people listen. It's because that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. It's to speak what it is I know to be the truth at the moment in which it is being needed. You know? My goodness, folks, here's opportunity for you to understand. You better read the sign. You better pay your bills. Try to get low. Try to get to everybody a little bit of dough. Get down. Don't buy no more. And see, when you do that, kind of keeps everything so, you know, all those economic stimulus checks that they sent out. This is it. You see, when you think stimulus, you think ICU. When I think of it, I think of, like, you know, in those emergency rooms where they got the paddles and they tell everybody clear and you stand away and they try to resuscitate the patient. These economic stimulus checks that are going to go out, these checks are home. They're not going to do anything for the economy. They ain't going to stimulate anything, you see. We got all this going on. It's just a temporary payday. That's what it is. And if people are going to spend it, they're going to try and save it, or they're going to try and pay down a debt. Well, that doesn't do anything for the economy, paying down your debt. Yeah? It makes sense, doesn't it, folks? You know? I guess I have a knack at making sense. Maybe not. But I know this. I don't have anybody calling me on the phone and telling me, you're wrong. And I don't have anybody emailing me and telling me, I'm wrong. And the people that I hang out with, you know, I'm loving it because I've been so lonely. I was hoping somebody would be. Who's out there?
Reverend Roxy. RJ. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, same to you, sir.
I did not want to interrupt your flow.
Oh, I want you to. You know you wanted to, and I know I wanted you to, too. How are you doing, Don?
I'm good. Welcome back to the world.
Oh, thank you. I've been back. I listened to your lively show on the chemtrails and Michael Herzog. Lively man he is.
Oh, yeah, we click. We have a chemistry, don't we?
Yeah. It was a fantastic little back and forth. But tell me, what do you really think about Obama and those candidates? I mean,
The ones I'm calling the Three Stooges?
Yeah. Are we on for the May Idaho Observer?
Oh, yeah, we're on target.
Yeah,
we're on target.
Oh, good.
It's a three-part piece, as you know. The first one is on McCain.
Oh, on McCain?
The first one is on McCain, the second one is on Obama, and the third is on Clinton.
Is on Hillary?
Yeah.
Although I think she's going to be out of it, but it'd be interesting to see just...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is so deep and so earth-shattering, what I'm bringing forth. It's gonna show the truth. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line.
I can't wait. I know that the listeners out there, I know people are probably just badgering, oh, just give me a little inkling. I feel like, you know, you're Superman and you got the scoop on all of us.
I can't give everything away, but all I can say is these people are not who they say they are, and we have been given many untruths, okay? We have been lied to like you cannot believe. Stupid has done got caught.
Stupid does got, I love it. I'm loving it. You heard, I don't know if you were listening to the beginning of the broadcast.
Yes.
But I was saying that's exactly what our duty is as prophets, as truth-sayers in this here 21st century. It's for us to point out stupid and to help people see it up close and personal and then make the decision to distance themselves from it. Because if they don't have anybody looking at them, if they don't have anybody following them, then they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it'd be wonderful for you, and it'd be wonderful for all of us out here as we know that there are skullduggery going on, that there are reasons why you can't find school records, why census reports seem to contradict certain people's memories or other people's memoirs don't seem to jive with other people's memoirs, you know. And I know as a researcher, you too have dug into some really probably way out obscure clues to come to the truth.
Yes. And I give the credit to the Lord because I prayed about seeing the truth and finding it, and it's one thing to know in your heart that you're not hearing the truth. It's another to reveal the facts, to be able to reveal the facts so someone else can look at it. And you know, people are in denial about a lot of things, so there's going to be people that are saying, how can you say this? You know, this is absurd, but it's mind-blowing.
Well, it's good because good research can open up, a good paper. It's for our future generation and all of these students that Obama wants to help get into college, affordable university tuitions, he's saying. It's important that what is being taught inside those universities jives with what's going on in the world so that they can prepare themselves. And so the kind of truths that you're bringing out, the kind of truths that Dr. Len is bringing out, these are the kind of things that are supposed to be put into the textbooks. And the only way they're going to get in there is with the persistent knocking and thumping and just in-the-face kind of reality. And that's why I think BBS Radio and your show Evident Footprints and all the rest of them is where it's going to be. And I'm so excited that this teaser, because, you know, I read it in the paper. You gave me a little clue, but then I saw it in the paper, and I was like, oh, this is going to be really good, because that paper doesn't need more. It needs all of us, you know, that Idaho Observer. I really love that paper.
Yes, Don and Ingrid are great. I have discussed my research with Don. It fits the pattern of past research. It was difficult in the beginning, but I'll tell you, when I handed it all over to the Lord, really, I gave it to God and said, okay, I'm just one man, and we are looking at, we're looking for something. It's not just me, it's all of us. We're looking for the truth. You don't have to show me, empower me to find it. And after I said that prayer, I had 4 hours of straight research. Just, I used to call it finding the needle in the haystack. Now it's finding the piece of hay in the needle stack. That's how much truth was revealed to me.
Wow. That is fantastic. And so what's your slant on this whole oil thing right now? You know, oil is at $126 a barrel. Gas is going up in your neighborhood. Are you feeling the effects of this?
Well, everybody's feeling the effects of it financially. What a lot of people aren't aware of regarding the oil is that the government is controlling all of this. We're looking at these oil companies, but the government controls the land. They're shutting down the wells. They even went into Canada when Dick Cheney took office. He ran a study and started making moves to take over all the oil in Canada as well. And you can presume something similar is going on if there is oil in Mexico, in any appreciable amount. They're doing the same thing there.
So what do you think either McCain or Obama could do about these gas prices? Because isn't it true that McCain came up with some kind of idea to temporarily suspend the gas tax?
That's horse pucky. All of this is just people saying what they think people want to hear. I got an email from somebody a couple of weeks ago that was sent to them by a military officer, a lower-ranked officer in Iraq, and McCain was over there. And McCain was sitting in a room talking to the table, a wall, and the ceiling, and actually peed his pants. You think that man can do something about the oil and gas prices, and he can't stop himself from peeing his pants? This is the man that they want to put out there because he's just going to be a puppet. But Hillary is a puppet and a pretty corrupt one because she's involved in all the money laundering and the massive thievery, and I'm speaking about the trillions and trillions of dollars that these people have been stealing using the stock markets, the banks, the hedge funds, derivatives, all of that.
Telling everybody that 95% of the dollars that are created are just blips and beeps on the computer screen. I mean, our whole system could go down in a nanosecond.
They're creating the money out of thin air, but the debt is assigned to the people.
Uh-huh.
These people are taking the money and putting it in offshore accounts, and they're doing it in the Justice Department with the judges and the attorneys as well. They're all doing it.
They're all doing it. And do you see us voting somebody into office that would be able to overcome this particular fact?
Well, then you have the issue. If you had Jesus Christ himself came down here to run for president, they would fix the voting machines. Okay? You know, we're getting these reports that so-and-so is winning this primary, so-and-so is ahead so many points. This is all fiction. It's all fiction. The very first two, the Iowa and the New Hampshire caucuses, were corrupt to the core. You had unlocked voting vaults in these buildings. People could come and go in the middle of the night and were doing that. You had removable seals on the boxes. They took pictures of this. This is not a false charge that I'm making here.
I've
seen the videos.
Yeah, I saw that one, too. I thought that was so incredible. You never really think until after it's all over. You would think that somebody would have thought of that and said, wait a minute, these things don't stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, but they can take them off. And I mean, have you ever seen tape like that? You can take it off of a cardboard box and put it back on, and it sticks. And you can take it off again.
Yeah.
You know, people keep forgetting. Okay, those of us that know that these elections can be rigged with the electronic voting machines and they can replace ballots, they've proven that they can do that because it has been done 50 years ago by Mayor Daley in Chicago.
After
he died, they went into warehouses and found boxes and boxes of ballots from past elections. So this is not a first-time event. They're masters at this. So you really think you're seeing an honest poll, let alone an honest election? It's a fiction. It's all fiction. This is what people have to wake up to. And look at the quality of the candidates they're giving us. Got a man that betrayed his country, lost four airplanes before he was shot down. He'd already lost four aircraft.
Wow.
And he gave 38 Radio Hanoi broadcasts. Now, they say that was under duress. Well, was he under duress when he was filmed getting in and out of a limousine with a Vietnamese general, going into restaurants, and
yeah,
being
in
the company?
Yeah, being a POW is hard work, but somebody's got to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's more as who, like, you know, Obama says that he's going to be going after the McCain, and he won't be pulling any punches, so he'll be talking about the Keating Five. And also, I think it's important that they talk about his wife, too, because, you know, the whole drug thing and whatnot. I mean, when you talk about the bottom of the barrel, we are talking about people who have escaped successful prosecution,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this is why they're able to be president.
Yeah. Well, there are some yarns out there about the families of all these people, okay? They're going to have to do some explaining. Obama is going to have to as well. He's going to have to do
you
some explaining.
You say Stanley, his mother, Stanley, she might, he, it, oh, I don't want to get into it. See, I start going into, you know, the Kansas City family or the Missouri family and whatever it is, and I look at the whole thing on that side, and I'm like, it's amazing, you know, how many people they want to be related to, you know?
Well, yeah, I think, I can't remember. Oh, I'm waiting for the one that actually admits they're related to Pee Wee Herman. That'll be the icing on the cake.
But like I said, you know, Al Sharpton, I was telling people that Al Sharpton found out that he was related to, genetically, to Strom Thurmond. And that was my first inkling that people could be, you know, that the DNA runs really wild through our community. That so when the whole thing with Obama and Hillary or the candidates, Cheney and all started saying they was related to each other, it kind of reminded me of the Al Sharpton thing, and I was like, wow, we are all a melting pot.
Like you say, they may all be related to stupid.
Stupid. And stupid brings them together only to suffer the final defeat, because the people will wake up. And although it may be, as Peter did, cut off the ear of the servant, we're going to try and maintain our composure and try to utilize whatever systems we have left for people to do what they need to do. And part of it is that we have got to show our future generation that justice does work, and
mm-hmm.
that we can find out and stop ourselves from going to the brink of doom, and it's not enough to believe in the hereafter. We've given a task here. That's, you know, it's not enough to just pray for the hereafter. It's for us to know that we're here to do a job, and I just want to applaud you for your research and for the coming issues in the Idaho Observer, and it's getting down to the end of my show. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to bid you a fair goodbye and a blessed hello and goodbye.
Well, I wanted to wish you a happy Mother's Day and welcome you back.
Oh, thank you. I'm here. I want to thank you for taking over, you and Len. You did an admirable job, and I am looking forward to doing more here on bbsradio.com, and I'll be listening to Evident Footprints Monday through Friday.
And you're going to have to come on my show now, you know.
Oh, well, you just call. I'm home anytime. If you don't have a guest and you just want to kick it with somebody, just give me a ring. I'll pick up the phone and I'll be ready to go. I'm always in the spirit, and I love to ask good questions. And I know that once you get that Idaho Observer out, we're going to be going back in history, and we're going to be tying things together. So whatever it is that you found out, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of us out here that will be able to support you with more, and we'll just icing that cake all the way and serve it up.
Okay. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day.
Oh, happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
All right.
All right, bye now.
All right, you are listening to Mission Possible Radio Hour. I'm RJ, Boss RJ. You just heard from Don Nikoloff. I just love it. I just love hearing from Don. He's so exciting, and this is getting so exciting. So I want to let everybody know that you've got to get your Idaho Observer, get yourself a subscription, because this is a three-parter, and also Dr. Len writes in there, and all the stuff on the vaccines. Get up to date, the statistics, so that you can be informed, and as everybody starts to fly the rhetoric around, you can get in on it too, and it's going to be all about the facts, so you know, put them in front of you, and let's get in there and duke it out with stupid. And if we can't help them become smarter or come over to the way in which you know that they're on the path of truth and that they now got it because they love you and they accept you and you them and that they're all on the same page, that we're going to have ourselves one rock in 2008, 2009. So with that, I'm going to say, you know, it's been fun. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. And I will see you back here on Sunday. Mission Possible, same time, same back channel, bbsradio.com. Because you know, I am not mainstream. I'm alternative all the way. See ya.